السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله with the fazal karim and ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We now come to Surah At-Teen. So this is also a Makki surah, meaning it was revealed prior to Hijrat. So we will first do the first three ayat of this surah and then do some of the tafsir of it, and thereafter continue inshallah ta'ala. So Allah Rabbul Izzat, in the first verse, Allah Ta'ala says, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونَ. So in this verse, Allah Ta'ala takes two qasams. Allah Ta'ala takes two qasams, right? So Allah Ta'ala says, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونَ, by the fig and the olive. So Allah is taking a qasam by the fig and by the olive. And Allah Ta'ala then takes a third qasam in the second verse, وَطُورِ سِينِينَ, by Mount Sinai. And the fourth qasam Allah Ta'ala takes in the third ayat, وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ, and qasam by this peaceful city. Right. Now what are these qasams, what are they referring to, etc. So Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam by the fig and the olive. Both of these fruits are mubarak. Whether it is fig, whether it is olive, these are sunnat fruits to eat, and both of them have got barakat, they are mubarak. Then from a health point of view, they are extremely beneficial. Olives are beneficial, figs are also beneficial. Generally, when we talk about figs, so people's minds, because many people don't eat fig, people's minds go to the sour figs. Right? So we're not talking about the sour fig. The sour fig also, it has some health benefits. But we're not talking about the sour fig, we're talking about the fresh fig. So this fig, it's like all fruits, grows on the tree, right? And you get one that is more of a, like a purpley, dark purpley kind of a color, and you get one that is green. Now the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, you know, our Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he used to always tell us that the ground, the sand is the same. You take one garden, the sand is all the same color. You take seeds, different seeds, you plant it in that same ground. You water it with the same water, but so many different things come out. So many different things come out. Flowers, different fruit trees, then even from the flowers, now one is red, one is blue, one is purple, one is pink, all different colors. Now, I'll tell you what happened at home. We took a purple fig. Now, say we want to plant a fig tree, right? So how do you get a seed for a fig tree? So in a fig, there's a whole lot of seeds. You eat it. However, if you want to plant, so now you got to take some of that fruit, some of that, and you dry it. So the fruit will dry away, and then you'll be left with the seeds. Minute, small seeds. So you plant those seeds. And then slowly, if Allah Ta'ala wills, it will germinate and it will grow. So we took a purple fig, right, and dried it. Not me, I say we, I'm taking credit, not me. minister of home affairs, APA. So she did this. So she took the purple fig, dried it, and then she planted the seeds. And alhamdulillah, it took a bit of time, but the trees grew, right? And they're bearing fruit. We eating them, and the monkeys are also enjoying them, both. So the beauty of our deen is, even if the monkeys eat it, you get sawab. Whoever planted the tree, a bird eats it, monkey eats it, human eats it, whatever, whoever eats it, worm eats it, it fell down, the ants eat it, you get sawab. It's sadaqah for you. So that's why I must plant fruit trees. Many people spend thousands and thousands of rands on their gardens. I don't say it's not good. You plant certain flowers, it looks beautiful, etc. But get into the habit of planting fruit trees. Fruit trees will also give you shade, right? They will also hold the soil, but you get the benefit of it bearing fruit. You can eat, you can send fruit for your neighbors. The creatures of Allah Ta'ala can eat, and all that is a sadaqah for you, it's a sawab for you. So, coming back to this, I'm talking about the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. So we planted, APA planted those seeds, the trees grew. But those trees are bearing the green type of fig, not the purple one. The seeds were taken from the purple fig. Now, why we did this? See, when I was in Darul Uloom Zakaria, so I went to Darul Uloom when I was about 10 years old, right? So Darul Uloom was a farm in those days. Now you won't think it was a farm, but it was a farm. There was a huge orchard. Peaches, plums, nectarines, right? Whole lot of fruit. And there were two big fig trees. But the green fig. Right? So recently, people have been selling figs, the fruit shops, but all the purple figs. I kept telling APA, you know, we used to eat this green fig when we were in Madrasa. The fruit, the tree used to bear, and we used to break and eat this green fig. Now I'm seeing the fig is purple. So I said, all right, never mind, but let's plant this thing. So APA did this whole exercise and she planted it. But Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat, the figs are green. It's not the purple fig, it's a green fig. But the seeds came from the purple fig. So Allah Ta'ala is kun fayakun. Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. Allah Ta'ala can do anything. Allah Ta'ala is the doer. So khair. So this fig and olive both are mubarak. Right? They both have health benefits. Referring to the olive tree in Surah An-Nur, Allah Ta'ala says, Shajaratum mubarakatun zaytunatun. There's a mubarak olive tree. And there's a whole tafsir behind that. Right? Thereafter, so what we understand is, both these fruits are mubarak fruits. If Allah Ta'ala takes you to Aqsa, then in the compound of the haram, there's full fig trees. And when you're traveling in Saudi also, you'll see they have the date palms, right? Date palm orchards. And they will border it with fig trees. Olive, not fig, olive. In Aqsa also you get olive. Olive trees. You get full olive trees. Here, olives are so expensive. There, the olives are falling on the ground. People are walking on them. You know, sometimes fruit fall from the tree. There's so much there in abundance, right? So both these fruit are mubarak. And the oil from the olive is the most pure oil. Right? So let me give you a cooking tip also. Right? You see, if you want to make a nice steak, right? So now, what you must do, you take a pan, you heat it, make the pan hot. This is an expensive meal now, right? You take butter, put some butter in the pan, just to grease it. Not lot butter, just to grease it. At this point, not lot butter, just to grease it, right? So the pan is hot and you got a little bit of butter in the pan. Now you take your steak, but a thick piece of steak we're talking about, not the thin steak, nice thick piece of steak. So you take your steak, you put it on the pan. It must sizzle. When you put it on the pan, it must be hot. So you must hear it sizzling. But you just leave it there for a few seconds. Say about 20-30 seconds. Then you turn it around. You turn it around on the other side. Again another 20-30 seconds, right? Then you take this out. Take it out of the pan. Now you put your butter. But the steak has to swim in the butter. You put the butter. If you got some rosemary, you take the rosemary, put it inside. Not in the shaker now, not the, no, the proper rosemary. You take it, put it inside. Or whatever flavor you like, you put it inside there. Right? But then you put olive oil. You put olive oil. On your steak also, you put olive oil. Right? So whatever spices you put on the steak, you put your spices, whatever. And now you put the steak into that pan. But now it's swimming in the butter. Right? But the olive oil is there. And now you keep scooping the butter and olive oil onto the steak. So depending how you like your steak, rare or medium rare or well done or whatever, that's how long you leave it in the pan. So you leave it for a couple of minutes on one side, you turn it around a couple of minutes on the other side. Once your steak is ready, you take it out, you put it into a foil and you close it up. You must allow for the steak to rest. Don't just start eating. Take the steak, you put it in the foil and you close it up. You allow for the steak to rest for a few minutes. Right? It will still stay hot. Then you take it out and now you enjoy your steak. Right? The point is, when you put the olive oil, it won't burn. Right? Olive oil burns very slowly. And this is why in the lamps in those days, they would use olive oil. And this is why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you can't travel to Aqsa, at least send some olive oil. So they used to have a well in Aqsa where they would keep the olive oil. And that olive oil was then used in their lamps. Because they didn't have electricity like we have today. Right? So olive oil is an oil that burns very slowly. It's a very pure oil, very clean oil. So that was just some Jumla Mu'tariza, just some extras on the side, right? So here, then Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam on Mount Sinai, right? So this is the same Mount Sinai which Allah Ta'ala refers to in Surah Mu'minun. Allah Ta'ala talks about وَتُورِ سِينِينَ. Allah Ta'ala talks about it in Surah Al-Mu'minun also, right? So this was the very mount where Allah Ta'ala spoke to Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Mount Sinai. Then the fourth qasam that Allah Ta'ala takes, Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam by this peaceful city, Wahadal Baladil Amin, this peaceful city. So this peaceful city is referring to Makkah Mukarramah. It's referring to Makkah Mukarramah because in Makkah Mukarramah it's a haram. No war can take place there. No fighting takes place there. You can't even kill any game in Makkah Mukarramah. You know, as in hunting and, you know. Now you won't find anything there, but in those days, right? So you don't chop down the trees in Makkah Mukarramah. You don't cut the leaves, nothing. It's a haram. It's a sanctified place. So it's a peaceful city, right? So now, some ulama say, some mufassirin, that when Allah Ta'ala is taking a qasam on the fig and the olive, it's actually the places where this is found in abundance that Allah Ta'ala is taking a qasam on. Right? So your Sham region, Allah Ta'ala is taking a qasam on the Sham region, because most of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam came from those regions. Right? And then Mount Sinai was where Allah Ta'ala spoke to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. And Hadhal Baladil Amin, this is the city of Makkah Mukarrama, where Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the first wahi. The wahi started in Makkah Mukarrama, and this is where the Baytullah is, the Kaabatullah is. Our Hazrat Mu'izz Fateh Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he explained to us that you see, above the Kaaba Sharif is the Kaaba for the Malaika, right? Baytul Ma'mur. This is above the Baytullah. We can't see it, it's high in the heavens. Now, if you go above that, is the Kursi and the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala. The Kursi is something different, the Arsh is something different. It doesn't mean that Allah Ta'ala is stationed there. Right? But the Kursi is there and the Arsh is there. From there, there is a waterfall of Noor. Right? That cascades down, comes onto the Kaabatullah. Whoever is making tawaf, there's 120 blessings coming down at all times. Whoever is making tawaf, they are recipient of 60 of those blessings. Whoever is reading salah, they are performing salah in the haram, they are recipient of 40 of those blessings. And whoever is sitting and just looking at the Kaaba Sharif. But our ulama caution us, they say that in this era, you mustn't sit very close and look at the Kaaba Sharif, because they are all women making tawaf there. Now you're going to be looking at the Kaaba Sharif, then your nafs and shaitan will make us look down. Then we start looking at the people. Once we start looking at the people, then we start looking at the faces, which is haram for us to look at. So whether it is girls, they're not supposed to be looking at the strange men. Whether it is boys, they're not supposed to be looking at the strange women. So they say if you sit a bit of a distance away, now you can't really see the people. You just look directly at the Kaaba Sharif. Right? So you get 20 rewards, 20 barakat, 20 mercies just by looking at the Kaaba Sharif. Right? Now, what about the people that are not there? The people that don't have the means to get there. Sometimes there is a lady, right? Allah Ta'ala has even blessed her with wealth also. But now she doesn't have a mahram. How is she going to go? How is she going to go? She doesn't have a mahram. Right? So, how is she going to get the blessings? She is complying with the hukam, with the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that she is not going to travel without a mahram. Right? But how is she going to draw the blessings from the Baytullah? So, just as in the dunya, you have a water source. This water source, say for example, now take Albert Falls, right? There's a falls there. You take Hawick Falls or whatever. So you have a falls. When the falls comes down, it goes into a river. The water is cascading now into a river. That river flows very far away. Right? Now depending on how strong the waterfall is and how many tributaries flow from that river, that is how many people are going to benefit from those waters. Safwan, I see somebody waiting. Okay. So, in the dunya, in order to benefit from the Baytullah, masajid are built in different parts of the world. So the nur that is coming down on the Baytullah is flowing. All these masajid are connected. Like how the mountain ranges of the world are connected with veins under the ground to hold the earth, you know, stable, keep it stable. Like that, the masajid are all connected with spiritual veins to the Baytullah. So now, the masjid in your area is attracting that spirituality, that nuraniyat, that ruhaniyat from the Baytullah. It is a sad situation that today, the wealthier people, right, who can go for Umrah whenever they want, obviously only Allah Ta'ala makes it a reality. Only Allah Ta'ala makes it possible. It's not money. Money doesn't take you, right? But the point here is, the person who is wealthy, who can stay anywhere, he can afford to buy a house in any locality, any neighborhood. But he chooses to go and buy a house where there is no masjid, just because it's a leafy suburb. Because the leafy suburb, the plots are a little bit bigger. There's more wealthier people living in that community. There's a lovely mall nearby. Everything is close by. There's some eateries there and some bakeries there, and everything is in close vicinity. So now we're going to go and stay there. But we're not checking, is there a masjid there? Is there a madrasa there? I was mentioning this the other day. So many people today, they want online. Why they want online? No, we're living in the UK. There's nobody to teach our children here. Why you went there? You were not there. Why you went there? If you knew that you cannot give your children deen there, why did you go? So, when we choose to stay somewhere, we choose to build a house somewhere, we choose a place where there are masajid, there are ulama, there are madaris, our deen is taken care of. So many people, they have moved out of, in a Peter Maritzburg situation, right? They've moved out of, or even take a Durban situation. They've moved out of Overport, or in Peter Maritzburg, they've moved out of Mountain Rise or the town area to go and live in Chase Valley, to go and live in hay fields, to go and live in these areas, right? But they are living there for years and there's no masjid. For years they're living there, there's no masjid. They're still reading Salah up to now in the Musalla. Now they are being deprived of reading Salah in the masjid. Now what? So many of them may have passed away also. The land is purchased, no, we'll build a masjid there, but now we can't get zoning and can't change the zoning and all these things. Years and years ago. But you were living on the same street of a masjid. Like, you know, so to say, in the backyard of a masjid. And you left that just to go for a leafy suburb. So it's foolish. When we choose to stay somewhere, choose to stay in the proximity of a masjid. 5 times a day we can hear the adhan. Musallis are going up and down. When musallis are walking up and down, there is nur that is being generated in that locality. Musallis are going up and down. They're walking up and down. Azan is going. So many Muslims are replying to the azan. All this generates nur in that locality. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Ji, so after taking these 4 qasams, Allah Ta'ala mentions, لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, that undoubtedly we have created man in the best of form. Man is created in the best of form. The intelligence and understanding of man is greater than any other makhluk. Right? Man is physically man, not only man as in male, man as in the human race, is physically more good looking than any other creation. Man is able to speak better. He has a much more developed way of life. His behavior and mannerisms are also much more refined. Man has 2 arms, 2 legs, and is taller than most creatures. Yes, there are some that are taller than us, but most creatures, man is taller than them. Right? The features of his face are very attractive. He is able to exercise fine motor control over his limbs, accomplish delicate work, as well as exert brute force. Allah Ta'ala has granted him beauty in every part of his body, in even the little parts of the body. Allah Ta'ala, you take the teeth, the eyes, these are small things, but they sparkle. They have their own beauty in it. The hair, for a man the beard, for a woman her tresses, her long hair, all this is beauty. Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, pure is the being who has beautified men with their beards and women with their long hair. It's a shame that a lady who has got long hair goes and cuts her hair. That is her beauty, but now she wants to go and cut her hair. Then Allah Ta'ala has created man where his eyes are, his ears, his mouth, right? It's not like other creatures, they have to put their mouth on the floor to eat. Insan, you see, take a horse. Right? So beautiful animal, just now you all were riding the horses. So beautiful animal, the horse. But now, if a horse wants to eat, he has to stand on four legs. Right? And if it's an incline, the food has to be higher than him, otherwise he'll fall over. The food has to be higher than him. Otherwise, if he's on the high point and he's bending down to eat the food, there's a possibility he can fall over. Right? Because he's putting his whole long neck down now. And it's more taklif for him. Even to swallow is taklif for him. So the food has to be on a higher point. He's on a lower point. Right? But now he has to take his head from how high his head is, and he has to put it down on the ground. But insan, Allah Ta'ala created him such that he takes a morsel of food and brings it to his mouth. He brings it up to his mouth. Everything about insan, Allah Ta'ala has created in the best form. Now there's a very interesting qissa that took place with regards to this ayat kareema. If I remember, in the next tafsir lesson, I'll share it with you. If you remember, you remind me. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته